It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
What is up, guys? So, if you were following us, in the bonus episode, we announced we were going to start a football discussion podcast. Well, that is now. And with me today, and hopefully in the future, is someone I have known for a very long time, the master of trades over here, Alex. Introduce yourself.
Hey, fellas, it's me, it's Alex. I've known Angelo for, I don't know, like 6-7 years right now. We have started playing in the same Dynasty League in football. A fair warning, I'm not English, I'm not American, I'm an European. So sorry for any bad English here and there. But yeah, I'm glad to be here. I hope this can take up new heights, I guess. And I'm excited to join you.
7 years, has it really been that long?
Yeah, I think so. It was like the CMC draft, wasn't it? So holy, it was like 2015, 2016.
CMC was drafted in 2015?
I think so. I think it was either 15 or 16, wasn't it?
I was in my 20s. All right. That's depressing.
Good way to start the podcast.
We are going to move on. When did you start watching football in particular?
I started watching football like a year prior to that. So it was, I think my first Super Bowl was the Seahawks-Patriots one. So I gotta say I'm a Seahawks fan, but I wasn't around when we won our Super Bowl. I started watching the year after. So of course I'm a bandwagon.
Wait a minute. You started watching only a year before you met me.
I think so, yes.
So that means you came in with a year of visuals of football to go on, and you just started making these massive amounts of trades.
Yes, I had exactly 1 year of redraft under my belt when I joined that league.
What?
Yeah. And I never looked back. I barely play redraft right now.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I thought you knew that.
No, I didn't. So, you only had... Okay, so I have had... So this makes me feel really bad, I'm not going to lie. I have had a lot more extensive experience watching football. Like, my earliest memories of just visually watching football was the Super Bowl of the Buccaneers and the Raiders, and I believe Rich Gannon was the quarterback.
Oh, yeah, that was early 2000s, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the early 2000s. And I am a Bengals fan. And this may sound stupid, but the reason I became a Bengals fan is because of the slick-looking helmets on Madden, like, 05. And I was just hooked then. So then that answers the next question, which was, what's your happiest moment as a Seahawks? Them winning that Super Bowl, and the saddest moment was that pick, right?
The issue is that I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I mean, I watched it back, but I wasn't watching football when they won the Super Bowl. So my happiest memory is, I don't know, man. Oh, my happiest memory as a Seahawks fan was actually the Green Bay Packers championship game before that Super Bowl. Yeah, the one that we were down massively. I think we were down like 2 scores going into the fourth quarter. And then Russ makes that crazy 2-point conversion where he backpedals like, I don't know, like 20 yards back in the field, and then just hits it right in the money, and we win that game and go to the Super Bowl.
God.
That was my happiest memory because I didn't experience the Super Bowl live. So I can't really say that that's my happiest memory. The ones that I experienced live, that was the one.
Huh.
A close second, but it was then tainted was the Jermaine Kearse catch in the Super Bowl, where we were down, like, we were down the score. It was before the last play of the game, where we didn't run the ball and Russ threw the pick. Yeah, a couple plays prior to that, he makes that crazy throw to Jermaine Kearse, who then catches that ball, like, juggle catches it. I don't know if you remember it. It was like one hell of a
catch. I remember
catch.
The juggle.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. That was a pretty good one. But yeah, of course, my worst memory of that team was, of course, the Super Bowl loss.
The pick.
Yeah.
So, did the Super Bowl loss... So, the Super Bowl loss for the Bengals didn't really stink for me. Like, I don't even think that's the worst memory I have for the Bengals. But did that stink? Because it has to, because you felt like you had that game won.
Yeah.
And then it got taken away from you. That has to be a worse feeling. When that last drive started and the Rams decided to go 1-2, throw it to Cooper Kupp, I'm like, oh God, no. Oh God, no. I knew it. This is gonna be Cooper Kupp the whole way down the field, and just like that, boom, 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 like,
yeah.
I think my best memory as a Bengals fan is actually not even from that Super Bowl. It was the lead up to that Super Bowl and coming back on Patrick Mahomes. Because I'm not going to lie to you. Like, as long as I have watched the Bengals, I did not think I would live to see the Bengals in a Super Bowl. Like, I just remember my head over my eyes. I couldn't even watch that field goal. And, like, when I heard the field, like, the announcers, the field goal is good, I just started, like, crying. I'm not going to lie. I did not expect it. I did not expect to watch Cincinnati in a Super Bowl in my lifetime.
Yeah.
That's how long and jaded it had been.
Yeah.
And I think... Go
sorry.
Ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you continue.
And I think the best or the worst memory was, believe it or not, in I think it was 2008 or 2009, when the Bengals were up at halftime. And just before halftime hit, the Steelers, Carson Palmer broke his ACL, I believe it was. That was the worst. I was so freaking mad at that. Because it looked cheap to me at the time. The hit looked cheap.
Yeah, yeah. I think I remember the one you're talking about, yeah. I was just going to say about the Super Bowl. Yeah, I was also rooting for you guys. You know, the old Jamar Chase thing. So I was rooting for you guys, and like that last drive really stung. I really thought you guys had a chance there to win it.
The last drive didn't sting to me because I like saw it happen. Just like, believe it or not, the Kansas City loss last year, I also saw that happening because you weren't one of the people I was around, but the people I was around saying, if we don't score on this drive, they are winning this game. And we were up. And we did not score on that drive, and they ended up winning that game. Like, you cannot underestimate Patrick Mahomes, and you cannot underestimate the Bengals' historic ways of blowing games. So those are two things that just you do not want to mix, and they mixed. And I was like, yep, that's what happens.
You really have no one to blame but the mayor of Cincinnati, dude. You really lit a fire under their ass.
Oh, my God. I can't believe Gotta love politics, man. So, one of the debates that we've had over the years was the Bengals picking Jamar Chase over Penei Sewell. You were a big proponent of Jamar Chase, right?
Yes, exactly.
I was not, and I kind of want to get your opinion first because I like the reason why I thought Penei Sewell at the time is. It's very obvious when I tell you, so I want you to tell me why Jamar Chase first.
Yeah, I mean, that all comes back to what we talked at the time. It was the wins above replacement stat. That was my main indicator that Jamar Chase was the right pick there because, like, the elite wide receivers give you a much better win over above replacement than an elite tackle. And I know the offensive line wasn't bad, but, like, at this point of Joe Burrow's career, at that point of Joe Burrow's career, you really needed that elite weapon. And with AJ Green out of the way, I think like the LSU connection made all the sense in the world. And you really needed that elite weapon to develop further. So I always thought Jamar Chase was the clear pick. Like you can address the O line, make some mix up O line, like they actually did. Like they went out, they got some talents in free agency, but like elite wide receivers to the level of Ja'Marr Chase on rookie deals. I mean, I think that's just huge, and I didn't see how they could pass up on him.
I agree with that, and I think Ja'Marr Chase is one of the best wide receiver prospects we've seen, like, in a long time.
Oh, I think so. I think so. I think it was definitely since Amari Cooper, because, like, people see Amari Cooper now and they, like, frown upon it, upon him. But, like, Amari Cooper was an elite prospect.
So do you think, okay, then, so do you think that the quarterback you're tethered to matters a little bit more than the pedigree you're coming into with?
I think it's a mixture of both, you know? You need, like, that elite quarterback will elevate you, because, like, you can't do much if the targets aren't there, if the good targets aren't there. But, like, that quarterback also needs the elite wide receiver to grow up and to elevate his game.
Right. You know, like, it goes back to, like, you need someone who can make catches.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're good. You're good, man. You're good.
Now, I'm just saying, like, you can look at, for example, the Bills. We all hype up the second wide receiver that they usually have, if it's a Gabe Davis, Khalil Shakir, whatever. But it's like, it's the Stefon Diggs that elevates him. And he is not really elevating, like, Gabe Davis, for example, that we hype up for, like, three seasons now. Gabe Davis is never, like, that elite talent, so... No matter how good Josh Allen is in that situation, you will never elevate him further. So you can see, like, when I'm speaking here, it's towards that.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I agree. I do think it's a mix. Like, you have to have elite pedigree, because if you're not getting open and you can't make contested catches, then why are you on the field? But at the same time, you need someone who can put the ball in the places that you're best at catching it.
Exactly.
So, and I think that's what you're trying to, and I agree with that. The reason I was more for Penei Sewell at the time is because of watching the Carson Palmer injury, watching Joe Burrow get hit an ungodly amount of times, like an ungodly amount of times that season, and I just wanted that to stop. I do think Ja'Marr Chase, looking back on it, was the right pick at the right time, but I don't think you could have gone wrong with either, honestly.
Yeah, I think another factor of Ja'Marr Chase is, like, the elite wide receivers also let you get the ball out quicker, because they can open, they can get uncovered quickly. So it stops you from holding the ball so much. You can just make the quick reads, quick throws, and that stops you from getting hit as well.
So, we've talked about Joe Burrow, we talked about Josh Allen. Who do you think's better of the two? Because I have had a lot of heated discussion recently. Obviously, number one is Mahomes. If you don't think it's Mahomes, I don't know what you're thinking. But I think two and three is a good debate. Well, who do you think's better, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow? Which one would you rather have?
I'm team Joe Burrow.
Your team Joe Burrow?
Yeah, I think he has the it factor.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And I'm not saying that Josh Allen doesn't have it, but no, I think Burrow is on another level. I think Burrow is much closer to the Mahomes level than to the Josh Allen level.
That's very fair.
Yeah.
So, let's go back in the past, in the very recent past. Aaron Rodgers signed with the Jets recently. Before Aaron Rodgers signed with the Jets, you were very big on Zach Wilson. Where do you think that failed? And what positives do you think Zach Wilson had coming into the league that haven't either been used to the best of their ability or he hasn't developed?
Okay, so I think the Zach Wilson experience went wrong when he didn't fix the small things that could hinder his career at the pro level. I mean, I know that he did a lot of crazy stuff on tape. That's why I love him. But it was like the small things, like the back foot, like he didn't set his feet enough. Like he would often throw off his back foot. And you can get away with that in college because, like, the talent level, especially at the college that he was in BYU, the talent level you're going against, it's not the same as the NFL. But like in the NFL, if you don't have that, if you don't set your feet, you can't make those harder throws because your arm can only do so much. And he didn't have the zip, and that's why you would see sometimes some balls sail and balls just going completely off the rails. So I think that's a big part on why he failed. Overall, just like he failed because I think he didn't have the supporting cast to start. Like year one, that's where you build your routines. That's where you pick up those bad habits. And that's exactly what he did year one. He picked up a lot of bad habits. He got scared. I think he got really scared because of the O-line always crumbling. So you could see that he like even last year when the pocket was more or less clean, he would roll out. He wouldn't step into the pocket. And without those developments, you're bound to fail. So yeah, I really love them as a prospect, but I think like it was a mix of stuff. It was a mix of not correcting what was wrong in college that he got away with, and just picking up more bad habits. So it was at the point where basically everything was a bad habit, and he couldn't do anything right, to the point where you're benched by like Mike White. And Mike White looks good in comparison to you.
Don't remind me of that Mike White game.
Which is, it's a statement to how bad you look when people really think Mike White is the solution. And yeah, I followed Mike White after that game. Yeah, I followed Jets a lot because of the Zach Wilson, especially like Jets Reddit. And they were kind of going nuts for Mike White, thinking he was some sort of savior, which I could never understand. But yeah, so, I think that's the main points where you went wrong.
So to me, I think quarterback is the most important position on the football field. There's no doubt about that in my mind. It can have one of the greatest effects on a game. But there's a duality to it. You need to have the pieces around the quarterback so the quarterback can develop and become the next Joe Burrow, the next Patrick Mahomes, the next Josh Allen. Because those guys all had pieces at some point.
Exactly.
And I don't think they gave Zach... Like, Garrett Wilson was great. Garrett Wilson was a rookie.
And he came a year too late.
Yeah. The offensive line... So here's another question then. Since the offensive line is shaky, we agree. It's run-of-the-mill at best. It's about league average. No. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to come in and have struggles with that, considering he's so used to the consistent play of the Green Bay offensive line?
I mean, like last year, I don't think the Green Bay's offensive line was anything to write home about. I think it was run of the mill as well. He just has like those timing throws that he can develop. He can make quick reads that Wilson struggled with. I think he'll get the ball out in time, like we spoke about with Burrow before and Chase. A great wide receiver will help you do that, especially if you're not like afraid, for like Zach was, because of like his knee and being constantly hit the year prior. So I think it will work decently well, because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is what we saw before. I don't think he's at that MVP level. But I think it will work out fine. They will do better than they did last year. They probably go to the playoffs, but I don't think they have any sort of championship aspirations. At least I don't have for them.
You don't have champion. See, I think the Jets are a hot take machine. I don't know if you watch any of the major like news outlets, but like Nick Wright of Fox Sports 1, he's calling them an 8-9 win team. I don't know. Yeah, wow. Like I think there is like every level of expectation on the Jets, whether they're a championship team or they're just going to be average or bad. Like, so I don't There's know how no to evaluate them. I honestly don't know how to evaluate the Jets right now.
Yeah. I think they make the playoffs at least. It's a tough division as well, because you have the Dolphins, the Bills, the Patriots.
Do you think there'll be some natural regression for the defense?
I mean, you can't play at the level that they did last year constantly. Otherwise, it would be the greatest defensive unit ever. But of course, some regression is due. But like the offense was bottom of the barrel. Like there's some positive regression there as well. So I think it balances out. I think they make the playoffs at least. I don't expect them to go further than that, like championship games, like Super Bowls, nothing of sorts. But I think they make the playoffs, probably as a wild card.
I mean, yeah, it's so tough to think about because Aaron Rodgers is at the tail end of his career. Let's be real about that.
Yes.
And to make it to a championship game or the Super Bowl, he would have to go through at least one, probably two, of Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen. I don't know if that's happening.
Yeah, I don't think so as well.
So, I mean, it's really hard to judge. So, we're going to move on to running backs. The running back position has been a hot debate, and I'm surprised actually Ren isn't here for this because Ren had some very, very hot takes on Jonathan Taylor and the way that whole situation has been handled. So, what do you think about the current position of the running back? Are they going to get paid? And let's also talk about like the fantasy aspect of it too. How do you gauge the minefield that seems to be the running back position currently in the National Football League?
Yeah, I don't expect it to change anytime soon. I don't think they will get paid like the amount of money that they want. Like JT reportedly wants like 16 to 17 million a year. I think that's nuts. They'll never get that.
Nuts.
Yeah, especially with the coaches, like the former
How is
Colts
that nuts?
coach. The former Colts coach, Dungy, I think it was his
Tony
name.
Dungy.
Yeah,
Yes.
exactly. Like he tweeted something of sorts, like when they let that running back walk. That's way beyond my time. I'm not sure who the running back
Aaron
was.
James?
Yeah, that's the one exactly. When they let him walk and he went to Arizona, that Arizona did well in paying him, but like they got close to 2,000 scrimmage yards out of two guys. And with the money that they saved on the running back, they got to sign back Dwight Freeney, for example, all of the pieces in the defense that made that defense good. So when you don't even have the support of the coaches, apparently, I guess, it becomes really hard for you to get the money that you want. I think they will start to be more realistic because I don't see them holding out. I would like it. I would like if they held out just for the pure chaos, but I don't think they would because like you have a ton of running backs that would happily take their place and they are not making that much money.
So here's the problem with the running backs. When is the worst time to be at the peak of your powers? It's on your rookie deal.
Yeah,
When
exactly.
are the running backs at their most valuable? It's on their rookie deal. The peak of a running back is around age 25, 26. After that, there is a lot of regression that can happen.
Yeah.
And it's happened to a lot of running backs over the years. So I think there needs to be something in place that allows the running backs to get paid more up front, and then they can get paid less as they're regressing. I think that's kind of.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Of the compromise that needs to happen. I
I
don't
have
know how
heard.
that happens. I have no
Yeah.
idea how that happens because you would
I
have to go ahead.
have heard an argument going on that way that it was like to change the rookie contracts so running backs would be able to join the NFL sooner, But I don't think that solves anything because the other positions will want the same. Everyone wants the better NFL money and to get out of the rookie contracts quickly. So I don't think that really solves it. My idea, but like I'm off of the US reality on how the high school sports and so on begins. But my idea was that like the elite talent that is now going into high school and are highly rated high school prospects, maybe if they abandon the running back position, so dedicate yourself to another position, maybe that would change the market because it wouldn't be oversaturated with running backs. You would only have so many running backs that a team could actually use. And maybe that drives up the price, but that's like a, I don't know, like a 10-year process right now.
That's a 4D chess move right there that you're proposing.
But the main drawback that I got responded with was that it would heavily change like nutritions and so on of the players because the players would have to focus themselves on like different styles of eating, different styles, like gaining weight and losing weight. Too much for like high school kids to lose like 20 pounds or get like 30 pounds. It wouldn't be healthy for them. And that's why I said like I'm away from that reality. I have no clue how that actually works. Like,
but even if you're away from that reality, like you can look at the players and you can be like, okay, running backs nowadays now have to be as fast as wide receivers pretty much and almost as strong as tight ends. Like, why is that position not a well-paid position when you have those two criterias? You have to be the fastest and you have to be one of the strongest. What?
Maybe some sort of incentive for touches on rookie contracts. Like if you reach certain amount of touches, you either get out of the rookie deal quicker, get more money on the rookie deal, something of sorts, because what really hurts the running backs, to me, isn't the age, it's the touches. And I've seen plenty of tweets speaking to it, that it was basically like when a running back reaches a certain amount of touches, that's when they fall off, not really the age. But the age is sometimes associated with the touches because like the running backs all come at roughly the same age and the good ones roughly get all the same sort of touches. So there's a relation there, but maybe something, correlation there, my bad. But maybe something on the rookie deals that gives them like a small boost in terms of pay could probably mitigate that. I have really no clue here.
And that's the problem. There isn't really a solution that you then wouldn't have to change the complete structure of the way rookie contracts are handled. Yeah. And the owners are simply not gonna. They're not gonna sign on for that. They're not gonna be we're gonna pay them more money. Exactly. Yeah, sure. So okay, moving on to the fantasy season. How and dynasty? We can talk about both. How does that correlate to how you view running backs now when you're in rookie drafts or when you're in redraft lobbies?
Yeah. So that goes to the point of my trade earlier. That you were kind of starstruck with, that I basically moved off Christian McCaffrey and got like Joe Mixon. And first and a second, which was basically that. I also gave up Kadarius Toney, but like it's always injured. But like I think that's what's gonna happen, especially in Dynasty. We're gonna treat it much more like redraft, so it's year to year basis basically. We won't worry about the future too much because like all of these guys, they lose a ton of value. And I've told you this like plenty of times before. When you invest so much in a running back, and I'm speaking purely dynasty here, but when you invest so much in a running back and their lifetime value or they keep trade cut value is so high, you're risking too much because like an injury on a 22 or a 23 year old running back who's at like running back one, running back two, it immediately cuts off a huge amount of their value, a season-ending injury. Because then he comes back and he's like 24 and he needs to take half a season to come back to full health. And you're never getting the money, the value that you pay to get him. For example, like Bijan Robinson, I think that's a mistake you're holding him. I've said to Corey friend that we know from another league, that I would sell Bijan Robinson everywhere that I have him, because I don't think it's worth the risk. I think you need to start treating running backs in Dynasty like you treat them in redraft. So don't be afraid of the 26, 27, 28-year-olds, because those are also going for so cheap right now. You can get them like seconds and so on in rookie fever mode. Just go with those guys and treat them like cannon food, basically.
Cannon fodder?
Exactly, exactly.
So, I mean, I don't know, that's a hard sell for me simply because there is nothing that you can do when you have two running backs going off. Like, and I know you've been on the other end of that. You've been on the other end of two running backs going off. It's right there, and there's just nothing you can do about it. You just have to watch and accept that you're probably losing this week. So, I get the, like, strategic aspect of it, but at the same time, there's also, like, mentally wearing down someone. That's why I said, we had this discussion earlier, the team of Aaron Rodgers, Christian McCaffrey, Justin Jefferson, Derrick Henry, and Ja'Marr Chase looks scarier and feels worse to go against than the team you're sporting now that has something like Anthony Richardson, it has Kenneth Walker, it has Justin Jefferson, Chris Olave, Christian Watson. Like, I don't know. Yeah. There's like a mental thing that I like to play with as well.
Yeah, but the metal thing, that team never won anything. That's my issue. And maybe that's because of my conservative approach. Because, like, for example, an off-season or so ago, I moved off for Derrick Henry for, like, a first and or a second and, like, T. Higgins or something. Because, to me, you never hold the running... at that point, it was, like, 2 years ago, you never held the running back so much. And you sold them at peak value. But if I wasn't so conservative and I went for it, maybe I would have won a championship or two by now. And that's sort of what I'm trying to change here. Maybe just don't be afraid of taking the risk on those older running backs and treat them as cannon fodder, as we said before. Don't be afraid of buying them for cheap, and just use them until their legs fall off, because the investment isn't so big at that point. As it is right now, a Bijan Robinson, for example, that will cost you like 3, 4, 5 firsts. You will mortgage your future, and then an injury comes by and he loses like a quarter or a fifth of his value.
Do you think I could get like 4 or 5 first round picks for Bijan Robinson right now in any league I'm in?
I think you can get 3 and a player. I mean, right now, I ran like a small, because I knew this would come up. So I ran a few trades here for Keep Trade Touch, just to give you some insight. So would you prefer
really
Bijan Robinson or Drake London and Najee Harris?
Probably Bijan.
Bijan over Drake London and Najee Harris?
Yes.
Okay. And would you prefer, because you don't like Najee or you don't like Drake London?
Najee. I don't like Najee.
Okay.
I don't like, so this, I don't want this to branch out into another different tirade, but generally speaking, in redraft, and especially if you're going to take the idea that in Dynasty you should take running backs as like a redraft kind of like idea, you want to get the running backs on the best offenses, because the running backs on the best offenses tend to perform the best.
Okay.
And I don't know about the Steelers offense.
Okay,
and I really don't know about the Falcons offense, but I do like Drake London.
Yeah, I think Bijan is being really overrated right now.
I agree.
He's being like taken as a top 10 redraft pick, and
I don't think
he will finish as the running back one.
No, what? Yeah, there's no way. I will be shocked.
And if you're taking him in the top 10 of a redraft league, you're basically telling me that he's like, yes, chances of being the running back one, and I don't think that's possible because he won't have the receiving volume.
That Falcons offense is better be like something I'm not expecting. That's what has to happen.
And I think it will be a strong offense, but I think it will be like a very run heavy offense. And as we know, the receiving touches are worth almost double of a running touch, a rush.
Yes, that's where you get your value a lot of the times.
Yeah, and I think you will get, you'll have a ton of rushes, but I don't think he gets like 40. Does he get like 40 targets?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't like Desmond Ridder, honestly. Like,
oh, I don't think Desmond Ridder is anything.
Right, like, and that's kind of the thing. I went back to the quarterback is the most impactful. When you don't have a good one, it's kind of hard to, like, expect the offense to perform.
Yeah. Let me just run a couple more trades by you that I found here, and I thought it was really interesting. Would you prefer Bijan Robinson or Drake London and Jordan Addison?
Ooh. I'm going to stick with Bijan.
And Bijan Robinson or Drake London and Kenneth Walker.
Wow, Drake London and Kenneth Walker there.
Yeah, see, and that's fair, according to Keep Trade Cut.
And that's a community-driven.
Yeah. For those who don't know, it's a crowdsourced platform that basically, whenever you go in there, they ask you to rate like three players.
Oh, wait a minute.
Keep. Yeah.
So wait a minute. You're telling me actual people voted and said Kenneth Walker and Drake London equals Bijan Robinson.
Roughly so, like they don't vote on the trades, but they vote on the player's value.
Okay.
So yeah, they essentially said so.
That makes a difference. But regardless, it's tough. Like running backs is tough. I am so conflicted on Breece Hall, who was my pick last year. I don't know what to think about the Jets' current situation, and I don't know what to think about Breece Hall.
I would sell him. He's right now running back 2 in Keep Trade Cut.
Can I get running back 2 value? And even then, do I want to get... Because now he's tethered to Aaron Rodgers. So.
But he's like tethered to Aaron Rodgers for like 2 years, maybe?
I mean... But after those 2 years, he'll be 24, 25, and at the peak of his powers, and that's when you probably want to move him.
Yeah, because it's funny, because like, is that because the peak of his powers at like 24, 25, and at 26 is worthless?
That statement right there, at the peak of his powers and then he's worthless the next year, that is fantasy football and that is dynasty football. That is the exact summary.
Exactly.
You have to get in at the right year.
Exactly, and you have to get out a year prior. You have to be Bill Belichick with running backs if you want to play this.
You definitely do that.
Yeah.
So, we've talked about all that. Is there anything else you want to discuss? I think moving forward, next week we're going to have the AFC predictions for this upcoming season, followed by the NFC predictions the following week. Is there any greater discussion on the NFL, fantasy, or dynasty that you want to get into before we head out?
I don't think so. Like, the oddest issue at the moment is like the JT holdout, but we can leave that for next week unless you want to speak about it right now. We addressed running backs a little bit, like maybe give our thoughts about how that will pan out.
What do you think of the JT situation? Because Ren thinks JT. Ren is a Colts fan, and he thinks JT is in the complete wrong on this one.
I think he's surrounded by crybabies, honestly. Like, if you're the owner of plenty of billion dollars team, how do you go on Twitter and make those statements? Like,
my point. You said the quiet part out loud. You do not say the quiet part out loud that the NFL is going to move on and still run regardless of whether you're there or not. That sends a terrible message to the other 52 players on the Colts team. Like, why would you want to go there?
Exactly. That was my point. And like, especially, like, you have, like, that old situation, pans out on Twitter.
No, yeah, that's true.
And then you have, like, JT saying that he wants a trade, and immediately after that, the news that comes out is that maybe they will put him on the NFI list, the non-football injury list, And then you see the reports do not like say, oh, maybe he won't play this season or something. It's exactly like, and if he goes on the NFI, the team won't have to pay him anything, and his contract will tow to next year. So you know exactly who gave him those messages. It was Irsay who planted that on the media. And I mean, I think it's pretty clear it was like a threat, because if it was indeed like a situation where they would put him on the NFI, they would just put him on the NFI and they wouldn't announce it to the world, basically. So I think that also gives like a very bad message to like free agents and so on that will probably try to join your team. Now they probably won't have as much of an inclination to do so. But I think the agent on JT's side is also on the wrong. I mean, JT has not said much, except for like that tweet where he said that he wasn't injured and that the guy needed to check his sources. But like, right, the agent is also like going publicly with this. So I think both the agent and Irsay are behaving like child.
They're having a dick measuring conscience.
Yeah.
Yeah,
basically. I think so. So I don't think any of them are in the right. But like threatening to not pay your employer in this case. Is it employer or employee?
Employee. He's not paying his employee, which is Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, okay. Not paying to his employee, like, and threatening. He's not doing it. He's just threatening to do so. Like, if you don't just play, we'll do this. I think it's like, as the agent said, operating in bad faith.
It is operating in bad faith.
Yeah.
It is absolutely.
What do you think of this?
Of what? Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, the whole situation. How do you think it will pan out?
I have no idea. They keep saying, so Jonathan Taylor apparently has officially requested a trade request. Here's the greater issue, and here's why you don't say the quiet part out loud. If he wouldn't have said things like the NFL and the Colts will move on beyond Jonathan Taylor and when Jim Irsay is dead as well, then you can say, okay, we're looking for deals, and you can go out and you can go see who's willing to pay you, and then we can see if we can come to a deal. And he can come to the conclusion, because no running backs are getting paid right now. So I guarantee you, if he went out on his own and tried to get a suitor, it wouldn't be as easy as everyone thinks it's going to be. So he can go out and he can find that. But to then make yourself take the mask off and make yourself the bad guy, now this just makes this whole situation worse. So now they're dealing with this situation and the fact that the Colts and a lot of NFL teams are not willing to pay their running backs. So I think there's a real possibility that JT does not even hit the field this year. Because, let's be honest, Saquon Barkley was in a very similar situation, and he ended up taking, like, $11 million just to get on the field. So there's no way Jonathan Taylor was getting... I don't think there's a way he was getting $16 million. I don't think it's ridiculous, because I do think he's one of, if not the best running back in the NFL, and he deserves to be paid like the best running back in the NFL. But Joe Mixon took a pay cut to stay. Saquon Barkley took a pay cut to stay. That's what was going to happen. They were in the driver's seat, and then they just messed it up. So I think there's a real possibility that this dick measuring contest lasts until the regular season, and there's a possibility we don't see Jonathan Taylor until middle of the season, end of the season. There's really a possibility for that. And to me, considering you're actually about to start off your redraft, that would be scary for me as a fantasy person. And honestly, that's just crappy if you're Jonathan Taylor. I feel bad for Jonathan Taylor. I really do. Like, I know you're saying, oh, no, the poor rich guy. But, like, his team, the team that drafted him, the team that ran him into the ground, and the team that was going to run him into the ground this year again said, nah, we're not going to do it. Like, that's crappy.
Yeah. The issue with Jonathan Taylor is also that, like, he was heavily used in high school and in college. So his touches, like what we talked about before, the amount of touches at which a running back drops off, he's really close to that line right now, considering all of his touches so far. Of course, like, high school touches don't compare to NFL touches.
No.
But, like, he has a crazy amount of touches right now. I saw a tweet the other day about it. Or an X, should I say now. And, yeah, he was really close to that edge. But, yeah, I think he won't play this year. But I think he will be, like, either a free agent or, like, franchise tag next year. Because I think he'll pull something closer, like a Ramsey, for example, that he said he was injured and, like, embellished it. Said it was more hurt than he actually was. So I think he passes this part of the NFI, and then in season maybe picks something up while training or something, and then embellishes it to the point where they consider it IR, for example. Because at that point, he can't just hold the contract to next year, because it will count as a contract year, even if he's on IR. And then he will be either a free agent, or the Colts have to franchise tag him next year. But I don't think he plays.
Can you franchise tag a guy after going through all this?
What?
Would you have the balls to franchise tag a running back who basically sat out the whole year, and then you went through this whole process with him?
Oh my god, it's Cersei, of course. Like, any other owner, maybe like Dan Snyder, for example. No, he's not an owner anymore. But like, any owner probably wouldn't do it. But like, it's Jim Mercedes, of course.
Dude, oh my god. Petty
as heck.
That is next level petty.
Yeah.
Alright, we are going to head out. Thank you for listening if you got to this point. We will be with you next week. This show should come up on Thursday is when you will be listening to it, or later. I believe next week we said we wanted to aim for Tuesday to release. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. If you're good with Monday recording, I'm good with Monday.
Yeah, so Monday's fine by me next week.
We will see you all next Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Have a great one.
Have a great one, guys.
Thank you.